One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
Listen up, it's Nick and Sam, taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. All the plays, Bengals roar in every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle Juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to this week's edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. Yeah. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, Merry Christmas. Did you have a good Christmas?
Oh, yeah. I had a great Christmas. How about you?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It's quick, but the Wednesday Christmas is, I feel like it's the worst day of the week to have Christmas.
Yeah. It's smack dab in the middle of the week.
Feel obligated to work, kind of like you got the Monday and the Thursday, Friday, and you don't really know what you want to do. To me, the best, I feel like Thursday is the best day of the week for Christmas. So we get that.
See, anybody that like has ample amounts of PTO are probably taking off like a whole week for this because it's in the middle of the week. So, I mean, you have 1 week of vacation committed or you're just bouncing in between going to work and not for a whole week. It's kind of weird. I'm going back to work tomorrow. Which will be
a one-day work week?
No, I came in on Monday as well.
Okay. So you get that weird like Monday, Friday work week. The ever common Monday, Friday work week. But it's also going to be weird. My week is all the way thrown off. And kind of like Lisa's saying, thought today was Monday all day today. Tomorrow is Friday. It's just throwing everything off. And then it's even weirder that Bengals are playing on Saturday of this week, which is just... Like my days are not in the same spot, and it's I guess, is this what getting old is like, not knowing what day it is?
Sure. I think that's just the holidays for you.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. There's a lot going on with the holidays. Coming up on the show, there's a lot going on in Bengals news as well. We're going to update you on the latest headlines for the Bengals. Not a lot going on, but there's some roster moves that we'll bring you a part of. We will talk playoff scenarios. There is technically a chance. We will discuss this, and there will not be any negativity from the person that is on the other side of this podcast today. He will not be negative. He is all sunshine and rainbows when it comes to the Bengals playoff scenarios. He has no sense of negativity whatsoever. We'll talk Browns game. We'll talk Broncos game and everything that goes along with that. But we invite you to follow us on our social media channels. We are on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're also on Twitter. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Give us a 5-star rating. Come and join us that way. But first, let's hit a couple of those headlines, Mick. from this week. And I think we got to start it off sticking in the Christmas spirit. Joe Burrow gives his offensive lineman swords as a Christmas present.
Did we not talk about this last week?
No, this came out like Thursday or Friday of last week, so we did not talk about this.
Okay. Yeah. Expensive katana swords, apparently. Each one has a different personality, like it's a freaking Harry Potter wand or some shit. I don't know. Apparently, Burrow said that they all wanted guns, and he was like, I don't know if I could do that. You guys can get really cool swords, though.
I feel like a sword is cooler than a gun, though, isn't it?
You know, if anybody can bring just a bunch of really cool guns into an NFL locker room, it's probably Joe Burrow. Nobody would care.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong on that. I think it's kind of cool, though. I like these gifts that quarterbacks give. You saw Brock Purdy give his entire offensive line Toyota Tundras, which he had to have been like sponsored for or something.
I was going
to
say, how the hell did he afford that?
Yeah, he's not making like Joe Burrow can buy his entire offensive line a Toyota Tundra.
They are all on a lease, and he has to pay. He's just making lease payments. Is that what
probably,
it is?
Probably. And then I also, you know, found it funny that Joe Burrow more is just telling his offensive lineman that he now has swords. That too, they got to protect him because clearly there have been some issues with some portions of that
I think
line.
You could sneak a katana sword onto the field, like some way. Right? There's a way you can do it.
I mean, let's be real. Amarius Mims is big enough that he could probably like slide it into himself. Like, yeah. He is so big. And is anybody, if Amarius Mims walks onto the field with a katana sword, is anybody going to stop him? Like, I feel like he's a big dude. Like, what security guard is going to be able to bring down Amarius Mims? They're going to need to call up a bunch of
It would have to be an offensive tackle on the Broncos side of the ball. Like, Garrett Bowles is also going to. Be on katana watch or whatever.
They got some talent on that offensive line. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. Some roster moves we got to discuss. Justin Rogers was signed from the Bengals practice squad to the Cowboys. So long to the former Auburn product. Justin Rogers, he was one of the few nose tackles that was in the draft last year. Never was called up. You never really heard anything about him. So he is now a member of the Dallas Cowboys. Isaiah Thomas is now on the active roster. Logan Woodside was then cut, but then brought back later to the practice squad because Bengals legend Joe Giles Harris is no longer on the team. He was on the practice squad for 1 week. I know you did you get the Giles Harris jersey for Christmas?
No.
No? Oh, it didn't come in. So, time.
Means it was an unsuccessful Christmas because that's all I wanted.
Yes, because who doesn't love Joe Giles Harris, Bengals legend, and he is now headed to the Jacksonville Jaguars to finish off the season there. Dominique Davis.
We know that name.
Back on the practice squad.
I know that name. He's back. Okay.
He's back. And then Craig Young, linebacker, was signed to the practice squad. I know you're a big Craig Young guy. You got anything on Craig Young?
Where did he go to school?
He is an undrafted free agent from Kansas by the Colts. He was on the Steelers practice squad for 3 games this year. So, and it's not that Isaiah Thomas Calvin. It's a little different. Same name, but just not the same guy. It would be kind of cool, I guess, to have the other one. And then the news that I actually appreciated was Chase Brown won his appeal of his fine for jumping into the Salvation Army bell.
Yeah.
His argument was, they're everywhere. Why wouldn't I do it? And that worked. So I like that. And it was only going to be like $5,200. So it wasn't a massive fine, which also it's hilarious for us to say only $5,200.
Hey, but that's pretty massive for him. He only makes, how much do you mean? He makes like $1.5 million maybe a year.
Something along the lines of that. But that's pretty much the news headlines. The other news we got to talk about is playoffs. I think we got to kick off the show with it because it is the thing everyone is talking about. Then we can talk Browns and we can talk Broncos. So it's this simple right now, Mick. For the Cincinnati Bengals to make the playoffs, they need to win out. The Chiefs will need to beat the Broncos in week 18. Let's come back to that. The Dolphins will need to lose to the Browns or the Jets, and the Colts will need to lose to the Giants or the Jaguars. It's that simple. it's that simple that the Cincinnati Bengals can make the playoffs. DVOA, which is an analytic software that can somewhat calculate whether teams are going to play their starters in week 18. I don't particularly know how they do that. Is giving the Cincinnati Bengals a 1% chance of making the playoffs. 1%. But hey, 1% sure sounds better than 0%.
Yeah, we're toast. we're toast. I mean, you can say, oh, hey, we got 1% chance. I don't see the Chiefs playing many starters. They do play the starters. It's not going to be for very long against the Broncos next week. But hell, maybe the Broncos just have a bad game against the Chiefs backups. You know, a Matt Flynn type of situation, maybe.
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz does know how to play quarterback. We've seen him play quarterback well at times. We've also seen him play quarterback not so well at times. So, I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say we're toast. And also, the Steelers are frauds. I hate them. We've always hated them. We needed them to come through for once. Just for once, Steelers. And you guys suck. You guys are going to lose in the first round of the playoffs against whoever the hell you play.
Oh, and I'm going to love it. Every second of it.
Oh, they're not even going to win. I guess Baltimore is in the driver's seat of the division.
They're up a game in the division. So Baltimore probably will win the division. It very well could be Pittsburgh at Baltimore in the first round of the playoffs, which is probably not the team Baltimore wants to see.
They seem to handle them just fine last week. I mean,
so I don't know, but I still don't trust doing it. Mick is like a dark storm cloud, Lisa. A dark storm cloud. It's Christmas, Mick. You're bringing negativity, Scrooge, on this.
It's as far away from Christmas as it can be right now.
Wow.
Considering it's 26.
So I can't believe I'm actually going to say this, but Nick Wright. We know Nick Wright.
Oh, jeez.
Fox.
Oh, God.
He made an interesting point. I feel like I need to wash my mouth out for me saying that. And I'm not saying I necessarily think it's true or that it's even in the thought process of the Kansas City Chiefs. But let's just talk about that week 18 really quick. So for one, the fact of the matter is that if the Chiefs do not play their starters week 18, which they probably will not, but let's just say that let's say for the sake of this conversation that they don't, that would be 25 days in between their game on Christmas and their first round playoff game. Is that a good thing or not? I don't know. But what the point that Nick Wright made, and again, I can't believe I'm saying this, is, okay, so if the Bengals make the playoffs, they're the 7th seed. That's set in. And they will be playing who?
Buffalo.
The Buffalo Bills. The Kansas City Chiefs are looking at this and saying, who do we think is probably our worst, our best, or our biggest enemy and keeping us from a three-peat in the AFC? Maybe Buffalo. Buffalo's already beaten them. They're the only team to beat them so far. Baltimore, you could probably throw in that conversation as well. But Buffalo is in that. So do the Chiefs, and again, I'm not saying I agree with this, do the Chiefs say, hey, let's gift Josh Allen Joe Burrow in the first round of the playoffs compared to...
You really sound like Nick Wright when you're saying
this. I know, and I'm not saying I agree, but this was his point, and I at least made me go, okay, I mean, I can see you saying this. But at the other side of this is, okay, congratulations, Chiefs. Let's say that they do get Bengals-Bills and the Bengals win. Does Patrick Mahomes really want to see Joe Burrow walking into Arrowhead when they haven't played 25 days?
Yeah, you know, the team that played him in week 2 and really should have won the game if it weren't for a bullshit pass interference call on Dejon Anthony.
Without T. Higgins.
Yeah, without T. Higgins on the field. I think that's where Nick Wright's argument really just falls apart. And go back to the question of... is it a good thing that you rest your starters for 25 days? And I told you this a couple hours ago. it's different if it's the Carolina Panthers team from 2015 and Cam Newton's on the field and you haven't seen a real sustained level of success before that 2015 season. It's different when you have the NFL's current dynasty doing it. And you have such a level of continuity with the roster that the Chiefs have, which they've been able to, I think, continue the roster pretty well. I mean, they didn't have a lot of turnover from last year and they only got better on the roster, in my opinion. So I think there's a stark difference between those two things. And yeah, I don't think they would mind to rest their starters. They know what they have. They have good culture in place with Andy Reid. It's not like it's a young team. I think it's one of the older rosters in the league now. They probably could benefit the extra time off. So yeah, those are all my arguments as to why the Chiefs will be resting their starters.
Yeah, I mean, Lisa's right. What's the script say? What's the script say, Nick?
If it's the script that's dictating, the script absolutely hates the Cincinnati Bengals. So, yeah, the Chiefs are resting their starters.
This is true, yeah. But at least when Nick Wright, and I still can't believe I'm bringing this up, I kind of went, oh, well.
Nick Wright, super fan. Here's my thing about Nick Wright.
It's the first time I've ever been like, okay, Nick Wright, you had me in the first half.
Yeah.
You had me in the first half.
He's not the worst like guy from the mainstream media though. Like I don't think he's the worst. Like I trust Nick Wright. I'm not a big fan. But I'll trust his opinion on football over like Stephen A. Smith or Shannon, I guess.
You don't like Unk?
Whoever the Acho brother is out there.
Emmanuel and Samuel, sucked. Yeah.
Yeah, they suck.
RG3. RG3's not great. I don't know. I find it interesting. And listen, at this point, just win. If you're the Bengals, just win. Control what you can control.
Yeah. Like, and show that your roster's kind of rebounded in recent weeks, which I'm still somewhat skeptic because of who the Bengals have played over the past 3 weeks as to whether they've really righted the ship or not.
You're Mr. Negativity today. My goodness. Did somebody pee in your Wheaties?
Call a spade a spade. I mean, we shouldn't have won the Cowboys game. That was the luckiest win I think the Bengals have ever had. You went up against Will Levis for most of the game against the Titans and had a shit ton of miscues. I mean, that I've never seen Joe Burrow so pissed off after a win.
Maybe the Raiders. Raiders played up there.
Yeah, but he was really just pissed off at Jermaine Burton, it feels like, during the Raiders game, or for the Raiders game. Whereas this, for the Titans game, he's literally just pissed off at everybody, including Zach. And himself. He knows he needs to clean up those turnovers. And then DTR. I mean, that's DTR. I don't even know why DTR is even playing in the league. The dude can't play quarterback. Why is he even out there? Also, the NFL should investigate the Browns for the obvious tank job that they're doing right now.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty obvious with it.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
So that's a look at the playoffs. We talked about it. It's still a thing. And the best part is that if the Bengals win, it'll still be a thing when we're talking next week. Because, I mean,
we're not dead. We're not dead until week 18.
It is a little bit like Randy from South Park. I didn't hear no bell. You know, like we're still going. We're still going right now. It might be a little ugly, but hey, we still got a chance. Let's go ahead and talk about Bengals-Browns on Sunday. Bengals-Browns on Sunday. The Bengals win 24-6. I think we had the conversation during the game, Mick, that it was nice going into Paycor Stadium and really no point in the game being at all stressed.
Yeah. This is a pleasant game to watch. I mean, there was like maybe a few minutes in the third quarter where we were like, they going to mess this up? Are they going to screw up this game? But no, they didn't. DTR played the whole game. And what DTR gives, you take. When life gives you DTR, you make DTR lemonade. But I think that they played really well during the game from all sides of the football. The offense kind of stalled out at points during the game, but we also need to remember that the Browns have a pretty good and still pretty intact defense.
Yeah, I think in most of the defensive statistics over the last 6 weeks entering that game, they were like the 12th best defense. So,
they've been a good defense all season.
Maybe the best defensive player in the NFL on their defense.
Argument
can be made.
Yeah. I mean, he's the reigning champ in that category. So, until he gets dethroned, which he might, he still might defend it again.
I'll tell you what, you know who I was reading today and Saturday, we can talk about it. Who could put his name into the conversation and you never see D.
You think Trey is getting it?
No.
Oh, you never see who get it.
You never see a corner get it.
That was Pat Surtain.
He's been having a really good season. He could,
Surtain or Surtain?
I think it's Surtain. Potato. Let's go with what we liked, and I want to start giving Chase Brown a shout out. And connected to Chase Brown, I have a Bengals trivia question for you, Mick. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. Chase Brown has tied the Bengals franchise record now with five consecutive games with 100 scrimmage yards.
Wow.
And I'll be nice to you and say the three names that are on this list along with Chase Brown. So this is Chase Brown plus three others are all in the modern day Bengals. So like in the last 20 years.
Okay. All three of these including names. Wide receivers and running backs.
This is scrimmage yards.
So
this is scrimmage yards. So it can be any.
Oh, so how many players do I have to name?
Three. Chase Brown is the fourth to go five consecutive games with 100 plus scrimmage yards.
And this dates back to 2003.
Even more recent than that.
Well, I need a framework here.
Well, I'm just saying that this has happened in the history of the Bengals in all of these instances have happened since 2003.
Okay. Rudy Johnson, one of them?
Wrong.
Okay. Chad?
Wrong.
Terrell Owens.
Wrong.
TJ Hushmanzada.
Wrong. Wow.
AJ Green.
There you go. There's one.
I'm going to go with Jeremy Hill. Jeremy Hill had a really crazy stretch in 2014.
Wrong.
Really?
Shit. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. AJ Green. Joe Mixon.
Nope.
I didn't think that was the case either. Jamar.
Nope.
Shit.
Wow.
What?
You're missing one that is decently obvious. And then another one that when I tell you, you're going to be like, oh.
Decently obvious.
This guy, and I don't know that this was the stretch, but I'm hoping he went off against his former team. Went off against his former team in a game. I'm assuming Calvin is guessing Gio, but it's not Gio. That's not a bad guess, though. Gio is a good guess. Not a bad guess at all.
This guy went off against his former team. Uh-huh. Brandon LaFell?
Rest in peace.
Is he dead?
Yes.
Oh, I did not.
No. The guy that I'm talking about is no longer with us.
Oh, Cedric Benson.
Cedric
Benson would have been mentioned at some point. Okay, yes. So Ced Benson. And you said no Jamar. I don't think T, not T.
Nope. This guy 15-ish years ago, maybe not quite that long. 15. In fact, let me see. I think 15-ish years ago.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Holy shit. Okay.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. So Chase Brown tied the Bengals franchise record with five consecutive games with 100 scrimmage yards, tied with Cedric Benson, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and AJ Green. Love that trivia question. And anytime we can give a shout out to the law firm, I'm going to on this podcast.
I know that's the first time we've ever mentioned his name. We've been doing this for
a year and a
half. Not that long. A year and a half. Yeah.
A year and a half. But so shout out to Chase Brown, though. He has been, and I mean, he's just been really good this year. Especially in the last 10 weeks, he's been really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of continued on Sunday. I mean, ran 18 times, 91 yards. 4.22 yards after contact was his average in the Browns game, which I think is really, really, really good. It's a very good number. Two breakaway runs, they counted for 43 of his rushing yards. Wasn't really as involved with the passing game. I think he had three receptions for like 18 yards. But yeah, I mean, I think he kept the offense on schedule when the offense needed to be kept on schedule. Had a couple of nice explosive plays in there. I mean, this is what you've been missing from Joe Mixon for the past couple of years too. Yes, Chase Brown fumbled the ball a few times this year. Yeah, he's only done it twice. It's not like he's doing it every other game or anything like that. But yeah, it's the explosion we've been missing. And hopefully he can kind of just build on this season because I think it's a good stepping stone of what could be to come for him.
Yeah, I agree. He has been really good. And I'll tell you, the one thing that we haven't talked much about that he is, especially in the last couple of weeks, done a lot better at is pass blocking. He graded well on Sunday. Not a lot of attempts, But it was the game against, I don't remember if it was the Cowboys game or if it was the Titans game, where he made one play that was incredible, where the edge got around, I think it was around Mims, and it might have been Micah Parsons, that he just went into the backfield, like I think he was going out for a screen or out into the flat for a dump-off pass, and he broke away from that and just got his shoulder into the edge rusher just to do enough to give Burrow the time to make the play. And that is, it was one of those, when I saw it live, I was like, well, that's, Joe Mixon would do that. Like, that's great for Chase Brown.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. That play was really cool against the Cowboys that you were talking
about. I think it was the Cowboys, if my memory is right. Amarius Mims, before the injury, was playing well. And he just continues to be really good.
Yeah, he's been pretty solid. The grading hasn't been there, but I mean, he hasn't given up many pressures at all this year. I don't think he's yet to give up a sack, right? I think that's still...
I think, did they give the Micah Parsons sack to him against the Cowboys?
Now you gotta look. I didn't think they did.
If you talk, I'll look.
Well, I'll just look at season pass blocking stats here. I've already got it pulled up. Shit. Well, he's been charged with four sacks this season.
Four sacks, which is pretty good for a guy in his first year.
It's better tackle play than we've seen in recent years for the Bengals, and hopefully, it's and also with the offensive line, their trajectory. They don't really start grading well until like their third year in the league. So if 60.9. pass block grade, which is where Amarius Mims stands right now, is kind of the baseline. I mean, I think that means that the trajectory could be really high in a few years. We're looking at 75 plus pass blocking grades the next couple of years. I think that's a good number to be. He's continued to look really good. There seemed to be some drama on the sidelines with him and coach Frank Pollock, who probably is gone after this year.
You're a big Frank Pollock guy. I know that. Big Frank Pollock.
I'll tell you what. To Frank Pollock's credit, he did get a first-round pick in Amarius Mims, and Amarius Mims hasn't played awful this year. He's played pretty serviceable, so maybe he knows something in developing those guys. Now, I can't say that the rest of the offensive line this year, other than Tech Harris. Tech Harris has been pretty good.
And when Orlando Brown has been healthy, he's been good.
Yeah,
as the left tackle,
but the
just those guards.
Yeah, but there's a couple. Yeah, guard play has been pretty bad this year, really bad.
Another thing that I want to talk about is the pass rush. Now, the Browns' offensive line, it has some holes on it. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
But the pass rush did what the pass rush is supposed to do to a mediocre, is that what we're going to say? Maybe below mediocre. I don't know that we call that below offensive average line. I don't know that it's trash, but I don't know that it's mediocre. It's probably that level in between mediocre and trash. So I mean, Chris Jenkins, two sacks. McKinley Jackson had one as well. Especially that's what I liked, is you were seeing that from your guys that you're hoping are future cornerstones in this defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I mean, another great game from Trey. I mean, we say that every week, but five pressures.
Well, I didn't mention him. Is it just
one QB hit?
We could just have the Trey Hendrickson segment.
16% win rate on the pass rush. That's pretty, it's not, I was expecting that number to be a little bit higher, but it was still really good. Graded the best on the team by far in pass rush. It was nice to see Chris Jenkins get a little more involved with the pass rush. We saw him get two sacks in this game, three total pressures, one hurry. 16% win rate or 13% win rate. That's pretty good. Miles Murphy was winning with regularity. Sed Johnson didn't get many opportunities, but made the most out of them. We saw him make a nice play out there with the pressure and a QB hit. 33% win rate, because he's only rushed the passer three times yesterday or on Sunday, but we'll take it.
I mean, if he does that every game for the rest of his career and goes 33% pass rush win rate, I think that'll be pretty good.
Yeah, he's an all pro.
Okay with me.
All pro, defensive player of the year, Sed Johnson.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer if he does that.
Yeah.
33% pass rush win rate.
Oh, hey, Riley's finally messaging in here. Hey, why didn't you join our party? We were playing COD. Oh, yeah. We didn't tell the crowd or the audience we were playing some COD
before some we joined in here. Yes, we were. Because Mick and I are pretty much, I mean, I think it's safe to say we're probably two of the but being like the what? We're the Joe Burrow of Call of Duty, pretty much. I mean, we're fantastic. We're clutch. We come through it. No, we're the who are we?
How do we describe ourselves? Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, and Desmond Ritter.
I think we're Gardner Minshew, but some because you know Gardner Minshew has his moments where you're like, okay,
so we're okay. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew,
so I guess you're Aiden O'Connell and I'm Gardner Minshew. I'll take that. Frank mentions Geno Stone. He didn't grade great. Had another pick, though. That is going to be a fascinating offseason discussion, and we're going to be talking about the offseason, obviously. I mean, heck, it could be on next week's show. But
yeah, that's gonna be something to talk about, is do the Bengals keep Geno Stone for another year?
I think it's the hardest decision.
Well, and it's still a very good value contract. And if we're going to get the Geno Stone that we've seen the past few weeks, not including the Browns game, but talking about the Cowboys and the Titans games.
But then again, you would say is okay. Cooper Rush and Will Levis.
Yeah. But here's the other argument I'm going to make is that I think we've slowly seen an uptick in Geno Stone's play when Jordan Battle's been the other safety right next to him. Because I think right around the time that Von Bell got benched for Jordan Battle, I think we've seen good improvement from Geno Stone. We've seen some elite games out of him, the games that we thought we were going to see from him when we signed him back in March after watching him, you know, play really good center field for the Ravens. So I think it's going to be an interesting decision. Right now,
what do they do?
I think they keep him for another year. You have other people you're going to cut on this team. Sheldon Rankins is gone. Sam Hubbard's going to be gone. More than likely.
We'll talk about the injury report here in a moment. But like, I honestly am worried about Sheldon Rankins.
Yeah, is he going to die?
Like, I was reading another report.
We can't break news on whatever this is.
I'm just like, in all seriousness, if you've missed this much time, he's clearly got something extremely wrong with him, and I just hope he's okay. Listen. Regardless, like bigger than the game, like, I hope the dude's okay.
Yeah,
because clearly something is very, very wrong. Is there anything else you really wanted to hit on from this game?
I mean, we got to talk about. I mean, there's a couple things I want to note. Joe Burrow, we didn't even talk about Joe Burrow. You can't talk about Bengals game and not talk about Joe Burrow. Played really good again. Had the Superman touchdown pass.
Two plays.
Yeah, the turnover-worthy play, which I'm pretty sure that was what he got charged with.
We were discussing. Yep. And then I don't know what happened on the fumble.
Oh, God.
If that was a close game, we would have been like, Joe, what the hell are you doing? And I mean, we were doing that, but it was like, oh, okay. I guess he wanted to keep the game close. Yeah. Maybe. Okay, here we go. Here's the thought process. Did Joe Burrow fumble? Because if they would have scored, maybe they'd put Jake Browning in earlier and he didn't want to not play in the game.
Okay, Nick Wright. yeah. Okay. Anyways, Joe Burrow played pretty well. 252 yards, three touchdowns, three big time throws.
That touchdown
awesome.
Was
best Joe Burrow touchdown ever.
I mean, it's one of those things, and you see how he maneuvers the pocket. You know, he is the best pocket maneuver I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because you got to think, he does not, because I think everyone, because I think Lamar yesterday or whenever the hell that game was, my days are running together. It just feels weird to talk about a game that was on a Wednesday, but had a play like that where what, he had 9 seconds or something like that. And listen, Lamar's an incredible athlete. You know, I'm not going to take that away from him, but Joe Burrow is not Lamar level athlete, and he's doing things that you're seeing Lamar Jackson do.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible to watch him play.
I was going to, maybe not Lamar Jackson, but I give like peak Aaron Rodgers level of pocket maneuvering and mobility in the pocket, staying in the pocket, because Lamar Jackson, I mean, he does okay from the pocket, but most of it's just scrambling, right?
Well,
I mean,
I'm saying that he, when, like, as far as Lamar can get out and run, and some of his timing on the quote-unquote time to throw is because he's such a great athlete that he can scramble and get outside. Well, Burrow doesn't have that level of athleticism, which makes it more impressive. That was more of my point I was making.
Okay. Thanks. Ja'Marr Chase. Good game. 6 of 8 targets caught, 97 yards, touchdown, 155 passer rating when targeted. That he just does that a lot. Andre Yoshivas had a really good game in limited action or what, limited targets or whatever, but caught all three of his targets, 53 yards, had the touchdown, perfect passer rating when targeted. It seemed like all three of those catches came at pivotal points in the game. I remember seeing the sideline grab. What was that, second or third quarter?
I think it was.
Was that fourth?
It was fourth. Yeah.
Fourth quarter. Okay, whatever.
Fourth quarter. Because it was towards us.
Yeah. And I think that had to have been the drive where they were. It might have been the drive where Burrow fumbled. I can't remember now. But it was a really cool catch. Came on a third down.
And what a throw, too.
It was a great throw for Burrow. It was an absolute dime.
Like Riley says. I mean, he could not have reached over and handed it to him any better.
Yeah. Pass blocking, we already talked. It wasn't, well, we talked about Amarius Mims being good, but across the board, it didn't grade very good or very well. So I'm guessing they were just getting blown off the ball. But only gave up 11 pressures, which is, we've seen them give up more. And they only gave up
Love that you say only 11 pressures.
We've seen them do a lot worse.
I know.
It's just, I mean, that's less than a third of dropbacks. I don't know if that means anything to you, but Mike Hilton, unstoppable on run blitzes.
He was
just
great.
Set him on a run blitz every play. Just do it. It's effing.
He's so much fun to watch on those plays.
He's just tweaked with energy. The linebacking play, not great. ADG did not grade well, was consistently out of position on run defense. It was really the main reason why rushing yards were a thing for the Browns. Jermaine Pratt also graded terribly in run defense, had a missed tackle in there.
He doesn't miss tackles. What are you saying?
He needs to take it up with the boys at PFF. They're not that far away from him. He's got to go and show up to their building.
Yeah, just a couple blocks up the way. I think we got to give a shout-out to Jordan Battle on that defense. He made some big plays.
Yeah. He was consistently just around the ball. He was consistently at the center of every play of the Browns, I think. And why we haven't started him all year is beyond me, especially after the year that he had last year.
Yeah, so. I don't mind Riley's comparison here. If he's Mike Hilton's almost a small linebacker, like just the way that he's been playing. Because his coverage actually is like the linebackers too right now, because his coverage still hasn't been necessarily too great. and so he kind of fits into that. Anything else you want to touch on? Or you want to start talking about the Broncos here? There really was. I mean, the Browns game, it was a game. You know, they won 24-6. There wasn't a whole lot for us to discuss. Injury report for the Bengals, Broncos. Sam Hubbard and Sheldon Rankins out. Again, center best Sheldon Rankins. Clearly something is very wrong. Tanner Hudson, doubtful. T. Higgins, Charlie Jones, Amarius Mims, Joseph Osai, and Geno Stone are questionable on Saturday. Good news. Orlando Brown Jr. back at left tackle. Cody Ford will now start at left guard in place of Cordell Volson. So that's some changes on there. The Broncos injury report. Are you ready for it?
Nothing.
Not one thing. Not one. That is wild.
Yeah, they've seen a real sustained level of health. I remember I was looking at their injury report yesterday, and I'm just like, there's nobody. There's like five guys that have been injured the whole season on the Broncos. Crazy stuff.
It almost, in a way, reminds me of like 2021 Bengals, where they just sustained a lot of health. And
spilled the words right out of my mouth. It's a very I think I said at the tailgate that the 2020 2023 Packers were my comparison for this Broncos team, but really the 2021 Bengals might be the better comparison, considering that we all thought this Broncos roster was terrible going into the season. We did not think, we thought that defense was by far and away the worst defense in the league. We thought, oh, well, they didn't have a quarterback, so you might as well just draft Bo Nix, because you really don't have any other options. What are you going to do? Start who was the guy that they had before Bo Nix? That was
scheduled. Jared Stidham?
I think it was Jared Stidham. Yeah, who are you going to start? Jared Stidham? For 2024. But no, it's I think that proves a testament, though, as to how good of a coach Sean Payton is and how he's been able to turn this franchise around for the better. And yeah, I mean, this has been a good Broncos team. This is going to be a tough game for the Bengals, even if they were a little bit healthier than what they are now.
It's fourth time this season that the Bengals will play a game against a team with more rest than them.
Wait, can you repeat that again?
It's the fourth time this season that the Bengals will play a team that is coming off of a Thursday night game from the week prior.
Okay.
Chiefs, Steelers, Cowboys, and then it'll be fifth next week because the Steelers, not a Thursday. Technically, they'll get an even more day of rest because they'll be playing Wednesday to Saturday or Sunday of next week. Does that mean anything? I don't know, but it is kind of interesting.
I think that means quite a bit, Sam. I'm not gonna lie. It means a lot.
It's almost like the NFL's against us.
Step in, Congress. Step in.
Broncos offense. You know, Bo Nix has been quietly really good this year. I feel like he's not talked about as much of the rookies.
Because Jaden Daniels exists, and then Caleb Williams has been such a dumpster fire this season.
Completing 64% of his passes, 3,200 yards, 22 touchdowns, 11 picks. And when you talk about this, like, and then you look at his weapons, I think it makes it even more impressive because it's not like he's got a ton to throw to. I mean, Cortland Sutton, he's fine. You know, he's inching closer towards a 1,000-yard season. But it is just, I think it makes it even more impressive what Bo Nix is doing.
Yeah, and we can talk about, you know, you mentioned the statistics. I mean, it's gotten a lot better than the 64% for probably the past like 5 or 6 weeks or so. Now, the Colts and the Chargers games were great, but those are also, you know, fairly good defenses. But you saw him play really well against the Browns a few weeks back. You saw him absolutely blow out the Atlanta Falcons, or you saw the Broncos as a whole blow out the Atlanta Falcons. In which he was just absolutely on it the entire game. But yeah, I mean, we've seen him really just come on in recent weeks. And, you know, he's definitely the second best quarterback out of that draft class right now with the way that he's playing. But yeah, and like you said, and I'll also give you a counter to that, though, even though the wide receivers and the overall skill position players in the offense haven't been that great for Bo Nix.
I know where you're headed.
He does have the number one ranked offensive line in the NFL, graded by PFF. There is not a bad player on this line. I mean, you're led by potentially the best guard of the league and Quinn Miners out of where? Where did he go to school?
North Dakota State, right?
I thought he went to Wisconsin Whitewater. Oh, damn.
I'll give it a Google while you're talking.
Okay. Also, Garrett Bowles, Mike McClinchy, Luke Wattenberg at center.
You're right. Yep. UWW.
Nice. Okay. Garrett Bowles, sneakily one of the best tackles, I think, for the past decade. The dude has just been absolutely solid. Hasn't had a badly graded season his entire career. He's having his best graded season since 2020. Miners and Wattenberg are both having their best seasons right now. But this offensive line is just, it's crazy. It's crazy good. Credit to Sean Payton for it.
Yeah, it's a really good offensive line. Now, we're going back to the weapons. It's not a great running team because they have 94 running backs.
No, yeah.
It's, I mean, Jaleel McLaughlin, Audric Estime, Javonte Williams. Like, they're going to run that. Estime has been primarily, I guess, more of the guy you've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I mean, he was a guy I know you loved coming out of the draft from Notre Dame.
And I don't think they really had an option because of how bad of a season, how bad of seasons Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin are having. I mean, you're just seeing no explosiveness out of those two running backs. I mean, 2.37 yards after contact for Javonte Williams. That is abysmal. And Jaleel McLaughlin's not much better than 2.59.
Please let James Conner be healthy. Because if not, I'm going to have to start Javonte Williams in my fantasy championship today. Because I already lost CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, I'm getting screwed in that championship game. I'm unhappy.
Did the Cowboys get officially eliminated? Is that why they're...
Well, CeeDee Lamb's out for the year now. And I was like, of course he is. They couldn't have made that decision next week. They had to wait until, you know, I was about to win some money. I guess I'm still going to win some money, but still. Congratulations to I don't even remember who I'm playing.
Jacob
Wells. Congrats, Jacob. You're probably going to win the championship.
So, yeah, I mean, the run game hasn't been great. Audric Estime's grading hasn't been that great, but the explosiveness has been there statistically. Definitely doing way better in breakaway yardage and yards after contact than those two. And then pass catchers, you've already talked about Courtland Sutton. Devon Valet, rookie out of Utah, I believe. It's had a sneaky good rookie season here at the Broncos. I mean, he's the number two target on this team by far. He's catching 73% of his passes, almost 400 yards, and has two touchdowns. He primarily plays from the slot. I think that's going to be an underrated, difficult matchup for Mike Hilton to go up against.
Defensively, this Broncos defense. I want to start on this defensive line. You know, you look at the names, and it might be one of those scenarios where you're like, oh, none of those names pop off the board. Of, you know, there's not a Myles Garrett. There's one guy. John Franklin Myers out of the interior.
Really good.
He has a win rate of 16%. And of interior defensive linemen with a win with at least 100 snaps, that's the fourth best in the NFL this season, trailing Milton Williams, Chris Jones, and Moro Ojomo.
Yeah.
Like that is really, really good. And then you've got Nick Benito, who is also having a really good season for this Denver team.
Yeah. Yeah. Those two have been the primary sources of pass rush for him this season. I kind of went into the season thinking, who the hell is going to generate any pass rush for this team? Like, these guys were not playing to that level last season, but I mean, you've seen a complete transformation. Credit to Bengals alumni Vance Joseph for getting this defense turned around. Also, I don't know if I've ever seen
weird.
Yeah, being the defensive coordinator of the team he used to be a head coach for is crazy. But he's really turned it around over there. Him and Sean seem to have a good relationship with the coaching staff together. But yeah, John Franklin Myers.
Is he having the time of his life too?
Who, Vance Joseph?
Yes, he's having the time of his life.
Yes, he is.
That's the old, when he was coaching down at Mexico City and ESPN had the Spanish reporter. What was his name on the sideline? I don't remember what his name was, but he gets on there and he says, and the new head coach for the Broncos, Vance Joseph, he's having the time of his life on the sideline tonight. So that's when I think of Vance Joseph. I just think he's having the time of his life.
Yeah, I did not get that call back when you said it. But yeah. Anyways, pass rush is really good. Ranked seventh with grading. As a whole unit, leads the league in sacks this year, which is good. Coverage unit, really good. Rick's third in grading, fourth in passer rating allowed. We talk about Pat Surtain and how good he's been this year.
Him versus Jamar is almost gonna be worth the price of admission on Saturday.
Do you think it'll be him and Jamar or him and T if T is on the field?
Jamar, they were talking today. Jamar is expecting against him.
Okay. Because Pat Surtain's a little bit of a taller corner. He's at 6'2", I think. So that's where I was thinking, is he going to go up against a 6'5 guy in T. Higgins? But anyways, Pat Surtain is having a really good season. Like you said, potentially a defensive player of the year. His name will be up there for sure. 87 coverage grade, 4 interceptions, 7 forced incompletions, 56.0 passer rating allowed, which is, I'll take it. I'd take it if I were, yes, if I were a Broncos fan.
Hey, he's really good, and that is going to be the matchup of the game.
Yeah, and then another guy in the secondary that's been really good, Brandon Jones, safety. I believe he came over from Miami in either this offseason or the offseason before that. 90 coverage grade, 3 interceptions, 6 forced incompletions, 56.3 passer rating allowed. That'll get it done. That's really good safety play from Brandon Jones. Maybe a reason why Justin Simmons was moved on from this during the training camp this season.
Special teams wise, I find it interesting as well. We all talk a lot about special teams, but if you're looking at PFF grade for special teams, these are two of the top three graded special teams units for PFF, which is, I mean, I don't know how much that really means, but it'll be interesting to see if that could have an impact. Now, I'm also curious is how much of that, because I don't really know how they grade PFF special teams and how much like air yards on punts and so on, where Denver does get the advantage of getting to play 8 to 9 games a season at Mile High.
Yeah.
Ball flies a little bit more. So how much of that is the impact on them having as high? I think they're 2 and the Bengals are 3, but I think they're both like a 90.1. But I think they had Denver listed ahead of the Bengals, so it could just be, I mean, they're pretty much the same when it comes to that. How much of that is Mile High an impact? I don't know, but still, I found it interesting.
Yeah.
Like Lisa said, there is a chance of rain. I know I've been looking at it. It does look like it's maybe going to be pushed off into later in the game / after the game. But it could be a factor, and it would be something to watch. That's why I think it, something that you're going to want to get out early in this game.
Yep.
Anything else you want to talk on Broncos?
Oh, no, I think we pretty much covered it.
It's going to
be a good
team.
Game. Yeah.
It's a good football team. It's a very good football team. Bengals Broncos 4:30 on NFL Network. If you live in Cincinnati though, it'll be on Fox 19. So if you live locally, you will be able to watch the game on your regular television with your antenna. So Fox 19, so no need to worry about that. If you live outside of Cincy, I guess if you live in Denver, I'm sure one of the Denver TV stations will be streaming the game, but you're going to have to watch on the NFL Network. Kevin Harlan and Trent Green will be on the call. Will you bring out the goggles again? They're 1-0.
We might have to do it.
You might have to. Also, I'll have to tell you off air what my dad said about your goggles.
Oh, Jesus.
You can probably take an assumption as to what he said.
I don't really want to hear it. They looked all right. They're going to look ridiculous in the game.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he said. They look ridiculous. And they did kind of look ridiculous a little bit. So Mick wore ski goggles to the game on Sunday.
They were a great purchase.
When you wore the sock hat, it looked better. Without the sock hat, it did look especially awkward. The referee, Adrian Hill. The Bengals are 6-3-1 with Adrian Hill as the official. This year, Lisa says they look cool. So Lisa's on your side about this.
Thanks, Lisa.
Panthers this year.
Oh, yeah, Seahawks, we were at that game.
Seahawks last year. Bucks in 2022. Broncos in 2021. Vikings in 2021. And Browns in 2019, the final game of the 2019 season. So those are the wins. The losses, Ravens Thursday Night Football last year. Don't need to talk about that game anymore. Steelers 2020, the road version. Not a great one. Steelers 2019, one of the losses to the Steelers there. And then a tie against the Eagles in 2020. Steve asks here, what do you all think of the orange pants with the jersey look? Do you like the orange pants?
Yeah. No, I think they're a pretty versatile pant. I think they match with every jersey that the Bengals have. Maybe
I don't love the white jerseys with the orange pants.
Excuse me. You don't like them with what?
The white jersey. I don't love that look.
See, I think that looks fine.
I don't know.
As long as the stripes are black, the stripes are black on the orange pants and the stripes are black on the white jerseys. So I think it makes it look better. And then Really, they need to just get rid of the white pants, orange striped pants. Like, there's no reason for them to have it anymore, I don't think.
Riley would love an orange out. Well, we had that, Riley. Week one of the season against the Patriots.
Yeah, called open in orange, Riley.
Gosh, where were you, Riley? My goodness. This guy. I think it's clean white socks, orange pants, white jersey, orange helmet. I don't know. I just don't love the white jersey. The white jersey, orange pants combo.
Did we get a confirmed blackout for Saturday?
No.
Not yet. Do we get black, anything?
Black, white pants. Oh. White pants. Sorry.
We didn't have a blackout this year.
Wasn't the Commanders all black?
I didn't think it was. Maybe.
I think maybe the Commanders was all black. I don't remember. Because I think people were trying to turn into a blackout for that game. Black jersey, black pants, orange socks are my favorite look. I think I agree with Lisa.
I agree with Lisa.
Let me see. Bengals, Commanders, week three. Let's just look at a picture from that game. Let's see. They were wearing... I'm just seeing a bunch of pictures of the Commanders in the end zone. That is preseason. Nope, they wore white pants that day. I guess maybe they didn't wear no blackout this year. Interesting. And I think that's maybe my favorite look, is the all black.
Yeah, and then you black out for the blackout. That's not happening.
Are you going to black out on Sunday?
No.
On Saturday night?
I'm too old.
Too old for that. Is that what they say? The ruler of the jungles, or the rulers of the jungle, will be the Bengals captain in Hubei.
I don't even know. Who the hell's Hubei?
That's his wife, Bengals captain's wife.
Oh, at least okay. Hubei.
At least I think they're married. I assume they are. If not, they're partners. So Bengals captain and Hubei. Congrats to them. Yeah, Lisa says, "Don't tell Mark that you're too old, Nick." Don't tell Mark that you're too old. Too old for that. Okay. Pick time. For Saturday nights, Bengals against
Lisa,
the Broncos.
Go ahead and leave. Leave, Lisa. You might want to leave there.
How about should I just do this? Should I just automatically mute you so we don't get the negativity from Mick Nelson? You open it up. What's your pick?
Broncos 27, Bengals 24. The injuries kind of just scare me in this one for the Bengals. We don't know who's going to be active in the game. I think if T. Higgins is out, that's a huge deal considering the people that the Broncos have in their secondary. It's going to be tough for the passing attack if T. Higgins is not there. And then just the Broncos are just at full strength, full health. They have a bad taste in their mouth from the Chargers game and are going to want to try to lock this one down for their playoff spot. We're gonna go with the Broncos in this one, unfortunately.
Mick, what in gambling, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever been given when it comes to gambling has been never bet against a trend. Never bet against a trend. So I'm not gonna bet against a trend. The Cincinnati Bengals are 11-1 in their last 12 home finales. 11-1. The lone loss was in 2020 to the Ravens. They have a stupid record in home finales. It's something like 24 of their last 31. The Bengals have won the home finale. Bengals 19, Broncos 17.
Wow.
Bengals win on Saturday night. It's a mucky game. It's ugly, but the good guys find a way to win because you don't bet against the trend. 11-1 in their last home finales. You can go ahead and make that 12-1. Bengals win. We're partying on Saturday night at the banks because the good guys are victorious.
I hope that's the case.
It's the hope that kills you, right?
Yeah.
It's the hope that kills you. Steve asks, any chance the Bengals try to acquire Myles Garrett in the offseason?
Can they?
Will they try? I mean, sure. Why not?
Just kidnap him.
Will they? No. I mean, why would the Browns trade? Why would the Browns trade him
in the middle of the night and bring him here? Yeah,
if only that could work that way. I agree, Lisa. That's why you're my favorite too.
Oh, wow.
But okay. Bengals Broncos on Saturday afternoon, 4:30. Mix picking the Broncos. I am going with the Bengals. I'm going to be a homer because why not? And plus, I don't want to have to watch next week's game against the Steelers with nothing to cheer for whatsoever. I just want a little bit of hope.
It's all you can have in these trying times.
He does one out, and with that Deshaun contract, they could use the cap space. They're screwed. That Deshaun contract, they're screwed.
Actually, yeah, let's see. Let's see.
They're in cap hell next year.
Does Myles Garrett have a lot of dead cap on himself? Let's see. That's a good question.
Listen, if you could tell me Myles Garrett would be on the Bengals next year, yes, please.
Yeah, they're going to lose $17 million on the cap if Myles Garrett gets cut. So, no, that's not happening.
Yeah, no. And to trade for him.
June 1, you save $5 million on the cap.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. Not going to happen whatsoever. In fact, I'm even looking here. Myles Garrett, I see here dead cap money in 2025 would be $36.2 million on Spot Rack.
I'm looking at over the cap. It has it at $16 million for 2025.
That's a drastic difference. So I don't know. That's cap hit is 19.7 and the dead cap would be 36.2. Interesting. I do find it funny too. On Spot Rack, they have their transactions. In 2023, he was fined $25,000 for verbally abusing the officials. Verbally abusing them.
How much was he fined for when he was hitting Mason Rudolph with the helmet?
He was suspended indefinitely, forfeiting $1.1 million of salary.
Damn.
So that's pretty...
Was it worth it?
Yeah, I think so. Give up Osai in a second for Garrett. They can't give up Osai because Osai is a free agent. So they can't do that. We did talk about that earlier, Riley. If you'd have listened to the entire show.
Yeah. Also, if you joined the Xbox party, Riley, are you on? Is Riley on yet?
Probably.
I guess he's in here, so he's probably not.
He's probably listening as he's playing some Call of Duty. That'll wrap us up for this week. Next week, I don't know what day of the week we'll be on next week. That'll probably depend a little bit on.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's a good question.
We'll let you know.
It depends on the results of this Saturday game.
Yes.
Is what I'll say.
Yes. Because a lot could change based on if we're going to have a sad show or a happy show next week or a belief show or what. So we'll keep you posted on to when we'll go live. Make sure to follow us on our social media channels. We'll let you know there. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Give us a 5-star rating and you'll be able to keep track of us there. Any parting thoughts?
Merry Christmas, happy late Christmas, and happy new year if we don't talk to you before the new year's. And second, if you're going to the game on Sunday, get here safely, have a safe time tailgating, have a great time tailgating. If you need a spot to go, you don't know where to go, Bengal Gyms by the, Smale Park or right by the stadium on the south end. It's a great place to go and tailgate. We go there every week.
Are you going to be signing headshots this week again?
Yeah, right next to David Fulcher.
How much money do we need to raise for like charity for you to just pull up a table next to him with pictures of yourself and just put it on the table? And, like, what do we need to do?
This sounds like an episode of Nathan for You.
But I think you have to give people out $5 for them to take your headshot.
I think I'd have to give them out more money, and there's no reason anybody would take it.
Or we can have a combination between you and Alex Schubert to see who can get more people to buy your headshot.
Well, Alex is a stand-up comedian. He's like a celebrity around these parts.
So are we? Are we not celebrities?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah,
I don't think we are.
You're probably right. Have a great week. Yep. Follow us on our channels. And Hooday, we'll see you on next week some point. Hopefully, it'll be a happy show for next week's Bengals Steelers preview and not a first off-season show of the year. See, Lisa says we're celebrities. That's all we need. I bet Lisa would buy one of your headshots. She would buy one.
She would buy it out of pity.
100% pity. 100% pity. She would buy one. be a good Christmas present for Mark. There you go.
All right.
Well, see you next week. Have a good day. Hooday.
Hooday. Thanks for watching.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.